Good morning, Wayne. Sorry about your LSU Tigers last night, but it is right now time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. Hey, it's time for me to say I stand corrected. The odds makers were correct. Iowa should have been favored over LSU. Hey, I thought LSU would win by 10 because LSU was a paint mismatch for Iowa. And by the way, LSU did win the boards last night, 54-36. Did have 23 offensive rebounds to only 6 for Iowa. Did dominate at the rim for long stretches of this game. But last night, LSU had no answer for Caitlin Clark, who is the realest deal. She made 9 threes. She made 4 in the third quarter when she took over the game with her Steph Link threes and her Stockton-esque passing. And Iowa got revenge for last year's national championship loss by leading by as many as 14, winning 94-87, a game that actually wasn't that close. This is what LSU coach Kim Mulkey said she told Caitlin Clark in the postgame handshake line.
She's just a generational player, and she just makes everybody around her better. That's what the great ones do. Caitlin Clark's not going to beat you by herself. It's what she does to make those other teammates better that helps her score points and them score points to beat you. What did I say to her? I said, I sure am glad you're leaving. I said, girl, you something else. Never seen anything like it.
Interesting. Okay, now let's see what Paul Pierce and Keyshawn Johnson saw in this game. Start with you, Paul. Biggest reason Iowa won what no doubt will be the most watched women's college basketball game ever.
I mean, the obvious answer is Caitlin Clark. But let me tell you something before I get to her. I was mesmerized by her. And I will tell you this. This was the greatest performance I've ever seen in the NCAA tournament, girl or boy. Greatest performance.
On this biggest stage?
I'll tell you why. Because rarely does a game like this live up to its hype.
Yeah.
You know, rarely do you have the two superstars play like superstars, because you got to understand, the scout report is geared to stop you. You know, all the hype coming into this is going to be... People who've never watched a girls' basketball game watched.
That is
a lot
correct.
Of people watched for the first time yesterday and saw the potential in a girl who's been in the spotlight all year long live up and even to me surpass what I expected from her yesterday. Did I expect her to get like 25, 26, you know, around 8 or 9 assists? But when you go out there with the scouting report geared to stop you, in the biggest game of your life that wasn't a championship game, and perform like this, Skip. Mm. Coach said it after. Generational player. This is Steph Curry's influence. Now, I've never compared a female basketball player to an NBA player. You know, most of your comparables are to other female players. You know, you got Lisa Leslie and Tina, you know, Candace Parker, yeah.
Shanika Holmes-Clark.
They all comparable.
Yeah.
Cheryl Miller.
They're all comparable.
Yeah.
But my only comparable to her is Steph Curry. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And I'm like, I've never seen anything like it. So hats off to this game, to the players that performed in it. Angel Reese was spectacular, 17-20, really did her thing. But like I said, these type of games never live up to the hype.
They don't.
This surpassed what I expected yesterday. Mm.
She did everything I expected her to do if they were going to win the game, which is, yeah, she shot, what is she shot 23s, which I expected her to. But I also expected her to penetrate and drive to the hoop, dish and do all those 12 assists in the game. You know, look, it lived up to the hype. As I was telling Paul earlier, I've never watched 8 quarters of women's basketball a day in my life.
I know.
I just haven't.
In one day. Your school was playing in the second game.
No, I understand that. But I've never watched eight quarters of women basketball.
And I believe there are a whole lot of yous out there.
Yeah, but I've watched USC since I was a kid because we've always had great teams going all the way back to when I was a young kid and Cheryl Miller to the point
where... By the way, condolences on Juju Watkins because she played her heart out last night and she just couldn't get there.
Couldn't finish it.
No,
couldn't finish the deal. But look, if you think about with Caitlin Clark, the most impressive thing for me is that she played from beginning to end. She played 40 minutes.
Yep.
I've never seen, now a couple players in the game play 40 minutes, but I've never seen somebody play the entire game. I've never seen that. Somebody usually get a break. You usually going to get 3 minutes. You're going to get a cup of water. They're going to let you rest up a little bit. Not at all. They made the decision that she's going to play the entire from wire to wire, and she was able to do it, delivering 41 points. Okay, she shot 29 times. That's a lot of shooting. But she still was hitting and making, and they had no answer for it. On the flip side of things, LSU defensively, well, I can't even, Johnson, I'm just going to say her last name because I don't want to mess her first name up.
Flage.
Once she got into foul trouble, the rest was history. It just because they didn't really have an answer defensively for her, for Caitlin Clark. And then once Angel Reese got hurt, because she started off hot. And once she kind of hurt her ankle a little bit, things kind of slowed down. You could tell, even though she had 20 rebounds, some of those rebounds she couldn't even put back up in the rim because it was almost she had no lift, Skip.
Yep.
It was an exciting game, man. She went up against some dogs, no question about it.
Yep.
Some woof-woofs, not no puppies.
No, they're not puppies.
I want to see what happens now in the next game against Connecticut.
Yeah.
Because she's got another test in Connecticut. And if she get past that, I'm sure South Carolina is going to take care of business against NC State. Then that'll be even another tough test. And if she checks those boxes, I don't know what else to say about her legendary career in college basketball.
And it wouldn't even be the same, though, level. This had the feel of a championship game.
It did.
I think Connecticut, I think that still will have a feel of a championship game because it's going to be built. We got, 3 days to build it up?
Well, it's still Friday night.
So we got 3 days to really put the yeast on it.
And by the way, Gino Auriemma called Paige Bueckers recently the best player in America.
But see, and I was telling Paul, Paige Bueckers to me, watching her against USC, she just looks, she just looks different.
What you mean she looks different?
She looks a little smoother.
You said that you like her better than Kate.
I
thought you were going to go the other way.
Are you kidding?
I like
how
she just looked.
Because she beat your school?
No, just because I think I just like the way she just looked smoother to me.
He said that she was better.
I think she
had a monster game.
I just think she said she was better.
I just think, to me, she's a better player. But I may be wrong. I may be wrong. He got basketball eyes.
Man, Kayla was out there diamond.
I know all of that, Paul, but I just think she just looked better.
Well, Gino tried to walk back his comments after the game saying, I don't know who said that recently. Okay, we'll see about that because I think Caitlin's going to have something for Paige on Friday night.
And that may be the case.
They played when they were freshmen or going back 3 years ago in the Sweet 16, and UConn had a much better team, won 92-72.
I may have fell in love with her personality because she's just got a.
I'm saying, what from the eye test told you that yesterday?
Kaylin just
put on an all time performance.
I didn't say she did, Paul. That's not what I said. I just said I like her better. That's all. Maybe our personality, because she talked the talk too. Like she got a little swag to her.
Paige was on her way to being Caitlin before her injuries.
That is true. Okay. She missed all of last year. It was a bad knee injury.
She probably shouldn't have been in the game.
I'm going to start with a point that Paul made, but I'm going to reemphasize the fact that Angel Reese does deserve a little bit of a pass for last night because I think she turned her ankle pretty badly when Caitlin went up into her and sort of they hit midair and she stumbled under the upright and fell through the photographers. And I think she turned an ankle that she'd already turned the SEC tournament.
And the coach didn't even look.
Yeah, that is a fact. So I look at what she had done up to that point. At that moment when she turned her ankle, LSU was up 34-30 and she had made 5 out of 7 shots and looked like she was just going to play volleyball all night at the rim, tipping it to herself. After that, After she came back from that, she went 2 for 14. And in the second half, she went 1 of 10. Okay, you can't tell me it didn't hamper her a little bit, as you said.
You can tell.
She couldn't spring. She didn't have her lift. Okay, so that was a big factor. But I'm going to take nothing away from Caitlin. Mm-hmm. Yet, here was my first issue with LSU. We all picked LSU, so I was kind of rooting for LSU just because I root for my own pick. I was astounded by the strategy that Kim Mulkey did not use against Caitlin Clark. Because she just said, right out of the box, we're going to play you straight up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put Haley Van Lith on you, mm-hmm. my point guard on you. And Haley Van Lith goes, she's about 5'7", and Caitlin's a real full 6 feet tall, okay? So she's given away 3 inches. That's why Flaujay Johnson would have been a better matchup, I thought, because she's a little quicker mm-hmm. and just a little sort of nastier, if you will. She's got more fight in her. Okay, so this is just me. If I'm playing Caitlin Clark and I'm Kim Mulkey, I'm going to swallow some of my pride because her pride was saying, we're LSU and you're not. You know, we're the defending national mm-hmm. champs. We're not going to kneel down to you. We're not going to trick up our defense. We're not going to play junk defense against you. I'm coming out. I don't care. It's Caitlin freaking Clark. And I've seen enough to know I am going to take the ball out of her hands from jump. As soon as she crosses half court, I'm going to hit her with the second defender, and I'm going to make her give up the basketball because you can't tell me the rest can beat you. Mm-hmm. They all played very well last night, and that Kate Martin's shot, I didn't think she was that good. She had a good game. She made in the fourth quarter, she made a baseline fallaway jump shot, and I said, my God, where did that come from? And so she had 21. Okay, so I give you that. But if you just say, like NBA teams say, I'm just taking the ball out of your hands. I'm going to double you so hard at half court, you can't do that to us. Because if you let her go one-on-one, remember, she's not a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter. She's a creator. She's going to shoot it off the dribble, going left or right. She's going to get her three-point shot. And if she gets in any kind of groove or catches a heater, as she did, because she made her first one last night, and then she made her first one in the second half. Yep. And once that happens, if she's going to make 9 on you, you're going to lose. And if she's going to make 4 after a tie game at halftime, she's going to make 4 in the third quarter, you're just going to lose. Because her threes have more impact than other mortals' three-point shots because she's shooting them from Steph range. Right. Remember, that court's the same size you guys play on, right? It's not a women's size court. It's a big court. She's shooting logo threes just like Steph does, and when she makes them, it just brings the house down. You know, the Iowa people go berserk because we've never seen this.
Emotionally demoralizing.
It's demoralizing because, Keyshawn, you got to give her this. She's the greatest female distance shooter we've ever seen. Nobody's ever done this. No. I'm talking about just distance.
I'm giving her everything. Yeah, I understand. The other girl looked to me. That's all.
I understand. But I was just shocked that Kim just said, no, we'll just play you straight up because we're the defending champions, right? You're going to be in trouble because if she smells a little blood, she's going to take it. And she smelled it from the start. And here we went. And to me, when I look at the three-point shooting, if she's going to make 9 and your two best three-point shooters are Flaujay, who went 1 of 6, and Van Lith, who had a rough game, she went 1 of 6. Okay, if you're going to do that, you're going to lose. So that shocked me from the start. It's not the way I would play her. Would you just do?
Well, they started off going under the pick and roll.
They did.
They started going underneath it.
And then the second half, they went over the pick and roll, but the person who was set to pick the defender was back off. And so I didn't understand either coverage. You know, you should have just started off. Once she hit the first one, get the ball out of her hands. Let's see if these other girls can make plays, because obviously she can make plays with the 12 assists.
But you're going to blitz her and try to trap her?
You trap her and make the other girls make plays. I didn't see anybody else on the court who had the ability to pass like Caitlin.
She was passing.
Yeah, she was passing. Knives, and then LSU didn't get back. How many times did LSU score? They get it out, take it out quick, and they just threw it ahead for a layup. Like, when a team scores, you're supposed to be able to get back and set your defense up. And so I think that, but a lot of that I saw with, you know, Angel Reese was hurt. She couldn't she couldn't sprint the court. You know, she got beat down court. It was hard for her to get up on the pick and rolls. She didn't have the same intensity as she did starting the game on defense. And it was clear, and she played with a lot of heart. You got to give it to her. I noticed the little things she did at the start to after the ankle injury, that when she was up on the pick and roll, she was up in the passing lane getting steals. She couldn't do those same things once the injury happened. And that from that point on, it was just Caitlin Clark finding a cutter, Caitlin Clark finding a go-ahead person up ahead, whereas, you know, Reese was the help early in the game in those situations.
Yeah, the Caitlin Clark mismatch was just unbearable for them. They couldn't, you know, when you watch her, she knew exactly to put Angel Reese in an awkward position at the key. If she go to her, all she was going to do was pass it.
Right.
And if she slough off and go underneath, she was going to pull it. And that's all she was doing. And it seemed like every single night, like Paul said, they started off going over the top. Then they said, well, we're going to come underneath. But they never tried to fight through it. They just, even when they go underneath, it was almost like they were sloughing off on her. It just letting her say, we dare you to shoot it. Now, a couple times, it wasn't nothing you could do.
Right.
Because as soon as she got it, it was gone.
Because a couple of times on those shots, I said, that's a bad shot. I just said, that's a bad idea. And it went
in. Because it looked far.
It was Steph Curry-ish. I mean, I thought I saw the female Steph Curry last night. And to her credit, we probably witnessed the greatest female college player to ever lace them up. I mean, when you look at it statistically, and don't let her win a national championship, then what are we going to be saying?
Well, that's what I just said.
I think that's going to stamp that may stamp it.
If she
wins the championship, that can stamp her as the greatest.
She's probably, and I don't know, Paul, you've watched way more college basketball and you played in it than me, but from my eyes and watching it and being around it, it seems like men or women, she's the best, deadliest shooter that's ever come to the college game. That's what it feels that way.
She is. She's broken every record. She's
broken every record.
We saw history last night. We've seen history all throughout her run this year. She's arguably the greatest college player.
You guys mentioned a bunch, and we could argue all day and all night about Cheryl Miller and Cheryl Swoops and all the UConn players, Tarazi, Zuberg,
Tennessee players.
Kelsey Plum, and we could just keep going on. Candace Parker and Lobo and Tarazi. We could just keep going and going and going. But the combination of the distance shooting, and this is just me, of all those women, and I've watched all those carefully, Maya Moore. I was a big fan of Maya Moore. What a mid-range jump shooter she was. But the ability to pass the basketball that she has, it's generational because you can't teach it. You can't coach it. As you guys know, it just comes along every once in a while. LeBron has the gift. It's just a gift where you can see it and feel it and anticipate it before it happens and execute it. And Magic had it, and John Stockton had it, and Jason Kidd had it. But
Joker has it.
Joker has it, but not maybe to LeBron's level. But he's got it for a big guy.
So.
He's a big. But this young lady can see it and feel. She's not a sensational. She's not a behind the back or between the legger. She's not going to wow you with them. They're more textbooky kind of passes, but she is just lethal. She will slice and dice you.
Her handles look legit.
She's more John Stockton.
Her handles
look
legit.
Stockton.
More pinpoint.
That's what I'm saying.
Any little mistake you make, she's going to find it.
Yeah. So the point of last night is I'm going to reiterate this and reemphasize it. They got annihilated on the backboards. Yeah. It's 54-36, and they gave up 23 offensive rebounds. But the point is, and by the way, Angel had 10 offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
In the second half, she was getting second chances, and she couldn't put it back because it would slip off.
I believe she got like three at one, like back to back to back, but couldn't put it in the hole.
I mean, she was surrounded by three players, too. They collapsed in on her a lot.
Yeah, and remember, I don't know if you guys saw her and have the sound up, or did you guys go out and watch it?
No, I watched it from the crib. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Kim Mulkey was interviewed, I think, after the first quarter, and she just flat out laid it on the table, and she said of Angel, she can score anytime she wants
at will.
To. At will. At will. That's what she said.
That's what
she can
said.
Score at will down there, meaning in the paint. Well, and I'm saying, that's the story of this night, and that's what I thought we were going to see. If Angel does not turn her ankle, is it... I don't know. Maybe Caitlin was so special. I'm not sure even that Angel could have overcome her.
Yeah.
But But it took all those nine threes to overcome 54-36 on the backboards. Because, Paul, as you know, if you just get crushed on the backboards, it's hard to win the basketball game, right?
Yep. Usually you win the rebound war like that. 23 offensive boards. You're getting 23 extra shots at the basket.
It just 23 extra shots?
99% of the time when you see that stat, you probably lost that game. If somebody got 23 offensive rebounds. And like you said, the threes just offset it. They were demoralizing. It was just like every time you felt like LSU was going to come back, make a run, it was demoralizing. Like the first half, it was a lot of body blows. They tied it up. Then second half, Caitlin came out with the haymakers. I mean, just started throwing haymakers. Yeah. I mean, just like every time down. And then to end the game, it was just you got up on her. She go by. You find somebody. You take a step off of her. You saw the girl. She was like, after she made a shot, she was like, what am I going to do? And that's demoralizing for a team. It takes the confidence
from them.
By
the way, guess who led Iowa in rebounds last night? Caitlin Clark had seven.
And she missed a shot and got the rebound. I was like
that was a huge rebound.
You know what I'm talking about?
It was a big rebound.
And it was three LSU players around her. I'm like, how did y'all allow her?
Yeah.
And get the board.
I don't know if you caught this, but right at the end of the game, she had a huge SWAT block down under. She came from the weak side and just, I'm not sure who, I think it was Morrow underneath, and she just swatted it. Mm-hmm. So she had two steals and a block. So she did. Listen, I'm not sure in a game of this magnitude, to your point, you've ever seen anybody play bigger than she played.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. The stage was set.
Yeah.
The pressure was on. Everybody watching, probably the most watched girl game. And that's what I'm saying. These games don't live up to the hype. These players don't live up to the pressure. Like, I expected her to get 20-something points. I expected Angel Reese to probably get a double-double.
Yeah.
But for them to perform beyond the expectations with a game of this magnitude, knowing that the scouting report is directed to stop you, and to do that, and you not only met the expectations, you surpassed them.
Right.
You had a generational game. I felt like I was watching the national championship game. Like everything else I watch from this point on is going to be like a downer. I'm not going to get the same feel.
Yeah. Just to remind everybody, speaking of the national championship game, just a year ago, LSU beat them by 17 beat Iowa by 17 in the national championship game. And Caitlin she scored 30, but again, they didn't have a chance. Well, they flipped the script last night because of her. Whew. All right, we'll talk more about this game in just a few minutes. A year ago, Angel Reese was the most outstanding player of the Final Four as LSU blew out Caitlin Clark's Iowa 102-85 in the championship game, which ended with Angel Reese taunting Caitlin Clark by showing her a ring finger and giving Clark a taste of her own medicine, the "you can't see me" celebration that Clark had used against Louisville. After last night's game, Angel and teammates Flajay Johnson, Haley Van Lith talked about all she, as an Angel, has endured since that championship game. Take a listen.
Crown she wears is heavy, bro. She's the type of teammate that's going to make you believe in yourself. The leap that I took from my freshman to sophomore year, Angel gave me that confidence to go be a dog. Playing next to a dog every day. And, you know, just to see how the media ridicule her, went through our problems. But, like, this is my sister right here. And I'm so proud of her. Like, the media, y'all, how they like to twist and call her a villain and all of that, y'all don't know Angel, bro.
I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times. Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. So I just want them to always just know, like, I'm still a human, like, all this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day, I haven't had peace since then.
Well, okay, Paul, you said yesterday you love the way LSU has embraced that villain role, in part because you often embraced the villain role when you played. Your reaction to what Angel said after that game?
You know, sports is so unique that, you know, you play the game and you can cover so many emotions up when you're out there, but this is what success is. When she won the national title last year and pointed to the ring and this, she became famous. You know, she became known. And when you're on top of the sports world, things are magnified. And success is at times hard to handle. And as a young athlete, as a woman in this game, things are thrown at you that you don't expect, but that's what comes with it. And I understand she can bottle those things up and you can't see it day to day because she's their leader and she has to portray herself a certain way. So it was very refreshing to hear her come out to be humanized, to play, look, I go through feelings. I go through things every day. I don't want to be called a villain. I don't want to be called this or that. That's what comes with being on top is all about. And being a young lady in college, that's a lot of pressure. And so I get her. Hopefully, you know, she gets through this because she is one of the best. She is glorified. It is magnified because of what she's accomplished. So as she continues to handle success and gets used to it and have an understand, this is what comes with it. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to agree with you. Everybody's not going to be on your side. That's what success is all about. And this is just her first run of it. So as she gets older, as she moves on, if she comes back to LSU win again or go to the WNBA and continues to grow her brand, she understands this is what comes with it.
Well said.
It's a lot that comes with it, right? And until you actually experience over long haul, you're going to feel a certain way. When you're young and you have a certain swag to you, the majority of the population doesn't understand. They don't get it. So when you start looking at people saying negative things and death threats and all of the weird stuff that we know, it's like it's a basketball game. It's not that deep. It affects people differently, but it obviously affected her deeply. But she had it bottled in, okay, right, to the point where after this game, you could tell immediately losing this game for her was going to be very emotional because she put a lot into trying to win the game. Just a lot into it. Ankle problem, still played. Played at a high level.
She did.
But then you wind up, in the grand scheme of things, the narrative will be you got beat by Caitlin Clark. Nobody's going to think about last year. Nobody's going to think about you putting your ring finger up and saying, I got my ring. They're not going to think about that. They're going to think about what just happened last night. And she knows that. As somebody who has, in his career, has been through similar things, it only got better as time went on because it was a different understanding. But early on, as a player, I isolated myself from the outside noise, didn't want to go out, didn't want to do certain things because I didn't feel like I needed to deal with that. But then eventually, I'm like, you know, as Paul said, I got a little bit older. I'm like, man, I'm not even worried about these people.
Exactly.
I'm not even, that's the least of my worry.
Right.
Yeah, I wrote a book my rookie year. Yeah, famous book, New York Times bestseller.
Just still, give me the damn
still
ball.
Still sells to this day.
Yep.
But after it happened, I was like, oh, these people are really crazy. I just wrote a book. That ain't really, I'm just trying to explain to you my trials and tribulations that I had to go through my rookie year. I'm not attacking anybody personally.
But it made you a lightning rod. It made you, in part, a villain, a villainous figure.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, but it also, let's not get it twisted.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not confuse it now. It was a white receiver in Wayne Corbett from the East Coast in New York City, New Jersey, and a loudmouth black kid from the beach cities of Los Angeles. You put that together.
You do.
And in the world we live in, this is what happens. When you talk about Angela Reese, you talk about Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about what she did to the America's girl.
No doubt.
And that created, and for her, it wasn't personal.
Mm-mm.
It was fun. I'm having fun. I just won. I'm just letting you know. We talking trash. We play basketball. Me and Paul, we friends. I sit up here and tease him, and he tease me and trash talk me. I trash talk him. But that's part of it. People got to understand that. Mm-hmm. You don't take it to the point where it's so serious that this young lady is not, you know, getting death threats. Not that she's afraid, but she's getting death. She got death threats. And like she said, it all happened after the national championship game. And why you think that happened? Because of what she did to Caitlin Clark in the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not act like that ain't the case.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived it. When I mentioned Wayne Corbett in my book, I lived it. I know how people are in the world. Mm. But I didn't really, you know, I wasn't necessarily worried about it. Mm. I had to just rethink, okay, well, how do I adjust?
What exactly did you say about Wayne Corbett?
One of them was I referred to him as the team mascot. But
I mean, that's name calling. I mean.
But wait, no. I referred to him as a team mascot, Paul, but it was more about he could do no wrong. Mm. Like, the team mascot can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Tommy Trojan can do no wrong. Whatever the Hawkeye, or not the Hawkeye, the Jayhawk, he can do no wrong. He's beloved. When a Jayhawk comes down the track, everybody, kids want to run down there and get his autograph.
Yeah.
That's, now look, could I have used a different word? Probably. But my view of it was, he could do no wrong no matter what the case is. It wasn't, I didn't dislike. Hell, we used to go to Atlantic City together. People don't know that. Because that wasn't something that him and I shared.
Interesting.
We would go to Atlantic City together and we go gambling. We would do those sort of things.
Okay.
We were great together on the team.
He was the classic white overachiever. And you were the first pick in the whole draft, right?
Yes. Okay. So now they switch it as the big bully on the block takes on the overachiever. That sort of thing. So it happens, but it ain't that serious. It's not that deep.
Mm. I had absolutely no problem with the way that Angel celebrated at the end of that game last year because she had earned the right to do just that. Mm-hmm. And remember, Caitlin had done the you can't see me to Van Lith, Haley Van Lith's Louisville in an earlier game.
Yes.
So she just turned it back on her. Touché. Good for you. You earned the right to do that.
But Caitlin didn't get the same vitriol or even nearly close to what Angel Reese has gone through.
It stung me when I heard her say last night, I haven't been happy since the championship game. I'm thinking, Angel, you didn't have a good college. You had an all-time great college career. You dominated the SEC. You were the most outstanding, they call it not valuable, most outstanding player in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. If you chose to, because she probably makes pretty good money at LSU, if you want to come back next year, you could go win it all next year if you so chose. I assume she'll go on into the WNBA draft. But the point is, really? It got that bad where you have not been happy one day since you won it all?
When people bother and you skip all the time.
Okay, so here's my two cents from a distance, because I'm not sure anybody's more hated on social media than I am, but I just don't read it.
And I'm up like there with you, Skip.
There you go.
I don't like y'all either. So.
All right, thank you. But the point is, my two cents of advice to her would be, just quit reading it, because if you go start pouring through your mentions,
it's hard.
There can be just one guy out there who says, I'm going to get you. And you're like, oh, my God, he's going to get me. Right.
But you know how hard it is. Skip, we say this all the time, man. It's hard, though. Yeah. This is a different world. These kids, that this is what they do. This is part of them. She's NBA, not an NBA, a college basketball face.
She's
still young. This is her NIL deals, things like that. She has to be a part of the social media world.
This is her first year dealing with superstardom.
Yep.
You know, as a young lady. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done it since high school, college, and, you know, and it's a different level these days because of the social media. It's magnified more so than when me and you played, Keith.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's a different level of it. It's not only where you go, because for us, it was where we went, we hear it, or the newspaper we read. Now it's at the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
You look up and there's somebody saying something or article wrote about you, and it's right here. You can be in bed 11 o'clock at night and just stumble upon something. Somebody like, oh, we're out to get you. I mean, you can't even get a peaceful night's rest.
Right. And then you can't get that out of your head. The whole next day, it just eats at you until it eats you alive.
That's why I don't bother with it.
Okay. That's why you shouldn't bother with it. All right. So she has nothing to be ashamed of.
And look,
to your point and everybody, is there some racial component here? Sure there is. But she needs it. She says, I stand strong for my teammates. She needs to stand strong for her because she's a strong young lady. Mm-hmm. And this is just me after last night. She should have just stood strong. They didn't need to get back in it. That's just me. Because, look, It was Caitlin's night. She turned her ankle, and it just wasn't meant to be. Mm-hmm. So you just tip your cap. You just move on.
And I think she tipped her cap.
Yeah. She did.
But it's so much that's bottled up that this is the
opportunity to just release it
get it off. Okay, we lost. Y'all won now. Leave me the hell alone. That's basically what she's saying.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. Y'all won. It's good. Y'all won this thing.
Okay.
We lost it.
But it's the one night where I don't need to hear from all those, anybody from LSU about, oh, whoa, or we. No, you wore the villain label well, the way Paul did, and it motivated you. It drove you. The Washington Post story drove you. The L.A. Times column drove you. And it just didn't work out. You got to the precipice of the Final Four. I still think you had the better team. Unfortunately, they had the better player on that given night, and she just might be the greatest player who ever played. And you got her at her greatest, and you got it right between the eyes with 9 threes. Mm-hmm. And it's just hard to overcome that if you're going to turn your ankle late in the second quarter and go 1 for 10 in the second half.
But the great thing about it, and all in all, she played this year. It didn't break her to the point. I know she missed some time, took some time off early in the year. She was benched early in the year, then she took a few days off, games off, whatever you want to call it. But it did not break her.
It did not.
And that's the thing. She continued to play at a high level despite having the stress on her shoulders.
Yeah.
And that, to me, in itself is a win.
And as Flaujay said, she's got that dog in her. And so it will serve her well at the next level.
Yeah.
She's going to have a big, good career off this. Because she's 6'3", and she's got skills, man.
Yeah.
She plays hard.
This is just the beginning of her success.
Yeah.
You know, you go through these things, you have your ups and downs. She'll learn to carry that crown and move on.
Yep. Well said. Oh, not him again.
Not him again.
Yeah, him again. You know, we haven't talked about him the whole show. How can we do this?
Because they hadn't played.
Oh. They're playing all those weaklings in the East.
Now, Mr. Weakness, man, you almost made me cuss now, man. This dude, man, get us out of here if I get in trouble, Skip.
All right. Joel Embiid, reigning MVP, could return from knee surgery as soon as tonight against the Thunder. So, Paul, how much will his return turn the Sixers back into a threat to win the East?
I'm just not sure there's enough time, Skip.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
And with a knee injury, you it doesn't matter what you do in your rehab and your big guy and it's your knee. So it's going to take time to get an NBA rhythm and an NBA shape. And I'm just not sure there's enough time for him to do both. See, the Sixers have been playing a certain way for like the last three months.
Yeah.
And now you go with like 7-8 games left, you got to revert back to learning how to play with Embiid before the playoffs start. So you really got like a week and a half to learn how to play with him, because I'm sure he won't play all the rest of the games. You got to slowly bring him back. I don't know how that's going to work. So out of the 8 games or 9 games, whatever games they got left, he'll probably play 4 or 5 maybe. You don't want to take any chances. I just don't think there's enough time to get him back in shape for him to really be a threat. In the Eastern Conference. Now, the East, that's not really saying much, you know, in the East, because, you know, the teams at the top, Milwaukee really hasn't scared anybody. The Knicks could be a threat. You got Indiana down there. They can be a possible play-in for them. So, but I just don't think after a knee injury and so many other knee injuries he's had over the years, there's enough time for him to come back and get at that MVP level that he had at the beginning of the year for them to be a serious threat to make a run in the Eastern Conference.
What's a threat, though? Is it a threat?
I mean, just even, I don't think they can even get out the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with you there. I would agree with everything that you said. Right now, they're sitting at the 8th seed.
Mm.
So they got the play-in, the double play-in, whatever you want to call it. It's hard, and we talked about this with the Laker players that have been injured for a majority of the season. It's just hard as a professional athlete when you haven't done basketball or football acclimated things.
Yep.
To a degree. Yeah, he can still stand there and shoot with his wrist, but he got knee issues. So now he's got to move laterally. He's got to get up and down the court. He's got to melt off that butter that he done packed on eating them Philly cheesesteaks over the last month or so.
You are right.
So, like Paul said, I don't know that there's enough time And even if they did, I don't think they're strong enough to take on a Boston team or even a Cleveland team.
Even the Knicks.
Or a Knicks team. I just don't think they're strong enough from front to back. I know they got Maxey, and they you know, I know all of that, but I don't believe that they're going to get out of the first round either.
Yeah. I am so with both of you, and I love Tyrese Maxey. I love to watch him fly around, make shots. I like Kelly Oubre. I like Batum. I like Tobias. I like all of them. I like their pieces. But Joel has never committed to keeping himself in NBA shape where it's almost like the worst thing that could have happened to him, and I push for him all year to win MVP, but it's like the worst thing that could have happened is he won MVP. And it's like, I did it. Well, you did that, but you never did that, and that is going to win a championship. And I find him hard to play with. I'm not sure he makes his teammates better because you kind of play through him, and then is he going to shoot it or not, or is he going to do this or what? And he's kind of a solo act in the middle of the floor, and he is a great shooter because he's a great free throw shooter. I've never seen anything like a guy who's whatever he is, 7'1", who could shoot free throws at a 90% clip. He just astounds me. When he's healthy, he will lead the league in attempts and makes because that's what he does. He gets to the free throw line. But right on schedule, he hurt his knee last year in the playoffs, and here we went. What are you laughing at?
He knocked out, I think it was Wimby,
knocked him down. He can. He is a force.
Oh, it was Gobert's.
There you go.
It was Gobert.
Well, that's no shock. So the point is, I look at the Western Conference playoffs, and I say it is loaded from top to bottom, and then I look at the East, and it's not loaded. It's just it's like we go back and forth about your Celtics, and clearly they're the best team in the East. They do live and die by the three, and I'm never quite sure about that. But and then the two, your two sort of twin stars, you know, will they come? Will they rise when it's time to rise? Is it time for them to both be superstars together? Do they fit together? I'm never sure about that. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not sure about Milwaukee because they lost their defensive identity when they lost Jrue Holiday, and they replaced him with Dame, so they got firepower and they can score on you, but you can definitely score on them. Then is Doc the right fit for them? I don't know. And they've sort of been up and down, and then they go way down, then they go back up. And then who else is there? Orlando or the Knicks or you mentioned Indiana. They all have their moments, and then they fall back. It looks like a clear path for the Celtics. And I don't see the Sixers doing much of anything. They're not going to make any noise. It's too late.
Yeah, I think it's just too late. I mean, NBA shape and practice shape, it's two different things, Skip.
Yeah.
I tell you, in the summertime, I've ran beach stairs until I got on that NBA court. That first game, I was winded. Mm. Didn't matter what you did. Every NBA player will tell you that. And the guy his size, you know, he's not sprinting full speed coming off a knee injury, so it's just not the time to get in the rhythm, to get in the shape, to get the chemistry back. Yeah, he'll be a threat with his presence. Maybe that can help you out, but yeah. Just to make a run this late, it's just hard for me to see.
I know a lot of people in Philadelphia, and everybody gets down on him because he won't commit to nutrition and fitness. It's just not what he does. He plays his way into shape. And he had a scope, and it's not a big surgery, but when you're 330 maybe, that it's just not.
But he's a big dude in general.
He's just a big, huge human being.
If you look at his trunk, I mean, dude is wide, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a wide. There's nothing, you know, I hear people always saying, he's out of shape. It's different than Zion. And different than when Shaq would get out of shape. Because Shaq came in like a rail, right? And then all of a sudden...
In Orlando,
he was like a rail.
He was.
And then all of a sudden, he got a little...
When I see the pictures of him, it's funny.
Yeah. So, but Embiid, to me, has always looked like this. Mm-hmm. He's never been like a rail, then all of a sudden, he blew up to look like just a huge dude. He was always big to me.
Yep.
And mainly his trunk.
Yeah,
his lower body.
I had somebody call me from inside the Sixers asking me before his draft, did I watch him at Kansas, which I did a lot. Obviously, you played there. And one of the insiders said, what did you think of him? And I said, he is going to be a force of nature in the NBA because he is so gifted with his hands. He's got such great hands and touch for a man that big. Well, he had back issues and foot issues, and he had to get his foot fixed. And then he basically missed the first 2 years of his career. And once he got right, he got really right. But then last year in the playoffs against the Celtics, right on schedule, his knee bothered him, you know, and he's limping around with a knee brace on. So I don't know. I'm just not sure you can ever trust him to take you to the promised land, but he already won an MVP.
We'll take him.
Yeah. Would you?
Yeah. You got to be healthy for 2 months.
We'll take him.
Available 2 months in the playoffs of health.
We'll package him up with something. We'll take him in L.A.
Well, you take anybody in L.A.
We'll take him. Y'all want to give him to us? We'll take him.
For who? Anthony Davis?
I didn't say all that. I just said we'll take him.
Would you take Joel Embiid for Anthony Davis right now?
No.
I wouldn't even think about it.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
MVP or no MVP.
You don't got enough to get him then.
I'm just saying, we'll take him. Nobody don't want him, we'll take him.
Right.
Okay. Well, don't you like what you got?
Yeah, but don't mean we got to get rid of what we got to get him. Let's just get him.
You got to get rid of a lot what you got.
I understand that, but if nobody want him, we'll take him.
No.
We'll figure it out.
You're going to take your chance with Joel. He's the MVP.
No, I'd rather have Anthony Davis. Sorry.
Well, you've got the key.
You'd rather have Anthony Davis than Joel Embiid?
I'd rather have AD.
I would too. I'll take Anthony Davis.
I'll take Anthony Davis.
A healthy Embiid or Anthony Davis.
But he ain't healthy.
Anthony Davis is not even for us this year. A healthy Embiid. Last year Embiid or Anthony Davis this year? You kidding me? Y'all don't watch basketball.
I guess I don't.
Embiid is the most unstoppable offensive big man we've ever seen. Mm. 35. Look except, what his numbers is.
Except for Shaq.
Maybe. I was about to say, come on, man.
This man averaged 30
Nobody
points.
Nobody can do nothing with the Diesel.
Diesel never averaged 35 points.
I don't care about that.
I'm saying this is the best offensive.
Paul, we not talking about that.
What are we talking about?
Unstoppable. You could not stop the Diesel.
Of course you can't stop the Diesel. But 35 points ain't unstoppable?
I didn't say it wasn't. I'm just
saying. What we saying?
You said he's the most unstoppable big ever. That's what you said.
All right, how about I say it different?
Yeah, say it different.
He's the best offensive big ever. Offensive scoring big ever.
Because he can hit his free throws.
He can hit free throws. He can shoot the mid-range. He got a Jordan fadeaway. He can shoot the three. He can dribble coast to coast.
I get all that.
He got post-game.
I get that.
He's the best offensive big man ever.
But see.
Skill-wise.
Yeah, but see, now you add more to it.
I mean, he is. Offensive. What big man's ever 35?
I'm just saying the Diesel, though, you played against him, Paul. Hey, he sat on the end of your bench at the end. He
the only one in this era that can match up with the Diesel. Mm. The only one.
Yeah, because the Joker get murdered.
Yeah. He's the only one that can match up with the Diesel.
Who do you always sing the praises of? You say you can't have the
But goat. I didn't want to say Kareem because it's so long ago. I just didn't want to.
No, but you say you can't even have a GOAT conversation.
No, you can't. And Paul know that. When you say scoring and stuff, Kareem, I mean, you know, different skill set, but Kareem, you can't have that conversation.
Why not?
I mean, you can't start a basketball conversation. It may not end with Kareem, but you cannot start it without talking about the cap. You just can't, bro. Right.
You can't start without talking about it. I agree.
He likes to, but you can't.
Okay.
I know Michael Jordan. I get it. He was sick. He had the flu. It was 110 degree temperature. I got it.
What about Wilt? Does Wilt belong in this conversation?
Offensive. I mean, Wilt had a couple moves. I'm just saying moves skill-wise. You know, Will offensively, he can just lay it up every time. But I'm talking about skill-wise.
Yeah.
We got to go
I've never seen
no
a big really put it on the floor.
I agree.
I never really seen a big put it on the floor other than Hakeem would put it on the floor. But he wouldn't go coast to coast. But once he crossed the half court, he put it on the floor.
Yeah.
He had a crazy turnaround.
And he did.
Yeah, he had some crazy footwork.
He can face up. He can back to the basket.
Yeah.
He can play you from the three, drive you from the three.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. No big can do that.
Okay,
no,
but Paul.
I need that, Paul.
Anthony Davis is much easier to play with than Embiid is. Play with. He can blend better than Embiid can for LeBron on a LeBron team.
But then when Anthony Davis don't have the type of game that you want Anthony Davis to have, it's criticism. because he's blending in.
Like he blends, but he can't see.
Hey, look, it ain't criticism.
Because he's blending in.
He's going to get crucified is what's going to happen.
Joel Embiid ain't blending in nowhere.
He go out there tonight and
he ain't blending in
points,
nowhere.
He's going to barbecue it.
So we're going to see him come back, hopefully, tonight or when he come back. But I just know.
No, he's not playing tonight. I'm talking about AD.
Yeah, I'm saying Embiid, though. You know, maybe he'll make some noise, maybe not, but I just don't know.
I just need to see Joel do it in the postseason one time, like a big run, where you say, okay, there
it
was.
Hard, though, man. You get the running into other teams, though, Skip. Sometimes them other teams got your number and you just bad luck. It happens until you get over that hump. We see it all the time.
I know, but he's always got something wrong. He's sick or hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you're hurt, you're always hurt.
It took LeBron to leave the conference for Paul and them in Boston to do anything. No, I'm messing with you.
Stop. All right.
All right.
I ain't going there today with you.